There are so many great things happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis.
It's like in the Book of Esther. God has placed each of us in this local church for a time like this.
We're just all people of God.
You know, we're all human. We're all fallen. We're all sinners.
I think we put on Christ, we put on love.
Put on Christ with us as we learn to witness in new ways, find inspiration in those around us, and look for guidance from the Holy Spirit, our Holy Mother Church, and the shepherds of our local church.
Because we're all on a journey.
Continue this journey with us now with another episode of Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. This is Leah Hazelton.
And this is Father Tom Margavichus.
And we've got a music-filled episode for you this week.
La 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 la.
Perfect. Now, Father, do you ever sing in your homilies when you preach?
Said the night wind to the priest at the altar, please don't sing your homilies. Some people like it and some find it corny. I've tried a few times. You know, I usually don't plan to include it, but sometimes on the spur of the moment, something might strike me. I've done it, you know. Yeah.
Especially in this Advent season, we start to hear Christmas music all of the time, and all of these songs tend to lift our hearts to God. And Father, I know you're big into music. What is music's influence on your life?
Music is part of God's way of communicating with his creation. Just from a scientific point of view, music is vibration. It's frequency and rhythm over time, you know, different timbre. And so God created all of the universe, the cosmos, to resonate with his love. Pope Benedict, back when he was still Cardinal Ratzinger, even wrote some theological meditations on this, Sing to the Lord a New Song. He talked about the cosmic importance of music, that God wants all of creation to sing, as it were. And so sometimes when you read the Psalms, and the psalmist will get rhapsodic about, you know, birds and trees clap your hands, cry unto God with shouts of joy. Well, they're just being birds and just being trees. They're not intentionally. They don't have the intellect, much less the will, to offer it. But nevertheless, the poetic language of Scripture does tap into the deeper truth, which is creation itself is intended to resonate with the praise of God. And so Ratzinger writes that when you do liturgy well, then you are fulfilling the purpose of creation, which is to resonate in unison with God. And it's when we sin that we cause the disharmony, the lack of resonance, the fingernails on the chalkboard experience that we all. Everyone loves music, although everyone hates bad music. And so somehow we know the difference. And when we can appreciate good music in the context of our faith, it is even closer to our purpose as humans. So that's probably a longer answer than me. You opened the door, and I'm sorry.
I know, Danny. I did. Right? I know. I did it on purpose.
Yeah, right. How about for yourself?
I love to sing, and especially, I guess I'm thinking about Mass right now and sacred music. I grew up going to St. Nicholas in Elko New Market. That was one of the parishes we went to. And over the last handful of years, they have delved into sacred music, and they have some fantastic vocalists and instruments that they use at the Mass. And I've just found that, yeah, it kind of elevates the experience and reminds me, just in another like concrete incarnational way, that there's something divine going on.
You know, and there's a further aspect of it. You see it with children. If you ever start to sing in the presence of children, they immediately lighten up. They were not taught this. It's instinctive in them that the sound of music engages them. And it's sad that so many people, when they become adults, lose that sense of engagement. And furthermore, that they no longer participate in the music at Mass. Mm-hmm. They say, I don't like music, or I don't have a good voice, or God knows what's in my heart. It doesn't matter what I do externally. And you say, watch a kid again. No, you should light up with music for love of God and the joy of being his creation and the opportunity to express that. That's what God wants of us. that we enjoy music in his presence to fulfill what his purpose for all of creation, to resonate with his glory.
Exactly. And our two guests this week, Tim O'Neill from the Piano Brothers and Stephen C. Anderson, they both sing, their music sings the praises of God, and they manifest this idea.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing their sharing their stories, how they got into it, and how they experience it now and what they intend to do with it.
You'll hear both Father and I with Tim O'Neill, but just me with Stephen C.
Well, let's get a listen.
From small town beginnings to over 5 billion streams, Tim O'Neill of the O'Neill Piano Brothers has spent the past 25 years crafting music that calms, uplifts, and quietly draws listeners toward beauty and even towards prayer. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a great day. A little snowy out there in Minnesota. It's a beautiful day.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, thank you.
I don't think we've ever had the opportunity before.
I don't think so.
Yeah, right. So part of the joy for me, the bad and the good news, the bad news is often the people who are producers invite onto the show are unknown to me. The good news is, because of that, I get to ask fresh questions without prejudicing my comments in advance. So you're going to be surprised as much as I will.
Whatever I don't know, I'll blame it on the other O'Neill brother, Ryan, who's not here.
So. Well, okay, exactly. Between you and Ryan, tell me who you are. Where did you grow up? How did you guys get involved in music? Tell me all about
this. Sure. Well, as we were talking earlier, we grew up in New Prague.
Uh-huh. Go Trojans.
Go Trojans, yes. Uh-huh. It's a great small town, but not so small anymore.
It's Ryan, growing rapidly.
Yeah? It is. Yeah. Ryan's the youngest of 5 kids. I'm the second youngest. Mm-hmm. And our mom was a teacher there, and our dad was a lawyer, and he dealt with people dying and cows dying and everything in between in a small town like New Prague. But it was a wonderful place to grow up. Home of St. Wenceslaus, I think the third largest Catholic church in Minnesota. It's beautiful and inspiring, and that's where we kind of started playing the piano early on for masses and other things.
Mm-hmm. Under whose pastorate were you involved there?
Oh, many, many over the years. We went to the St. Wenceslaus Catholic School, and we had nuns as teachers. God bless them. They still had rulers at that time when they were allowed.
That didn't break your piano knuckles?
No, didn't break the knuckles or the fingers, but no, in truth, St. Wenceslaus was a wonderful place from Father Zweber early on, Father Denny Dempsey.
Oh, sure.
God bless him. He recently passed away. Father Larry Johnson, who also recently passed away. And there's a whole myriad of priests over the, 18 years I was there until I went to Notre Dame and Ryan also went to Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's current pastor, Father Eugene Tyson.
That's right.
And I were classmates. We were ordained the same year, 1999.
Oh, really?
So hello, Father Eugene and your listeners.
All right.
All right. So when did you go to Notre Dame?
It was the fall of 1990.
90?
I am 3 years older than Ryan, so that's kind of where we got started as the O'Neill brothers. Mm-hmm, there was a talent show in one of the guys' dorms that wasn't a lot of talent. It was just kind of funny and doing things that wouldn't be appropriate now. But my senior year at Notre Dame was Ryan's freshman year, so we played in that Keenan Review talent show on 2 pianos. As the O'Neill brothers, and so at Notre Dame is where the O'Neill brothers were born.
Did you begin playing piano like as a young child even way back?
I did. Yeah. In fact, the story is our dad in 1960 bought our mom as a first piece of furniture in their apartment a piano, even though dad never played the piano. And so mom questioned, well, Bob, why did you buy this upright piano? And I think it was divine intervention, clearly by the Holy Spirit. But yes, we started playing, all 5 of us, O'Neill kids, played the piano growing up, and Ryan and I just stuck with it.
Yeah. So what else sparked your love for the piano, other than it just kind of being there and being this great gift that your father gave your mother?
Yeah, it was, it's truly a gift of the Holy Spirit, because when I was a little kid, I blamed my mom on not being able to play Little League. And as you know, in New Prague, all the boys and many girls played baseball, and it's something that didn't come naturally to me. So when the other boys, everybody was in Little League, I said, well, my mom won't let me play. So instead, I was playing the piano at church, and I was doing the piano that came easy for me. So those gifts of the Holy Spirit, some people are athletic, some have musical talent, some have both, some have neither. But whatever gifts you have is what makes us most joyful. So yes, it was just something that came easy for me and easy for Ryan, was playing the piano.
Do you and Ryan now do this full-time professionally, or have you other careers? Or
We do. So I run the record label, still in an office on Main Street in New Prague. But Ryan, he works as a realtor with Remax, just to kind of divide and conquer. We used to have three of us brothers working in the music industry. And as you know, working with family gets to be a little bit crazy at times. And they both said, well, Tim, you know, handle the record label and the music side of things. And then Ryan still does a lot with music, as we have a concert coming up here in December. We get together for that. But Ryan does do other things as well.
So did any of you three, you, Ryan, or Tim, major in music at Notre Dame?
We didn't. I sang in the Glee Club and did other things with music. But I was a business major. And Ryan, next time you see him, you'll have to ask him how he's using his German major. Every once in a while, ach du ja, ich kann auch Deutsch.
Ja, meine Mutter war aus Deutschland geboren.
Wirklich?
Ja, nein, natürlich.
Sehr gut. Vielleicht sollen wir auf Deutsch.
Aha. Nächste Mal.
Yes, okay. Beautiful, although I wish we knew Czech growing up in New Prague.
No, still... I can do a little Lithuanian with you, but Czech was never quite up my alley.
All right, to set the tone for the rest of our conversation today, we'd love to share one of your pieces with our listeners. Here is Joy to the World. Tim, one thing that always strikes people is how your music has reached such a wide audience while staying so peaceful and simple. When you and Ryan first started recording, what were the early years like post Notre Dame talent show?
Sure. After I graduated from Notre Dame, I asked Mom and Dad if I could move back into their basement and start the music business of giving piano lessons and playing for weddings. But I think your question, it's kind of interesting. The first time that I recorded music was when I studied abroad in Austria, my sophomore year at Notre Dame. And before I left, Mom said, well, what am I going to do when you're gone? So the night before I left in St. Wenceslaus, I brought the cassette recorder and recorded all of Mom's favorite songs.
Aww.
And so I played them very peacefully and very simply, because I only had, it was literally the night before I left. And while I was gone in Austria, Mom made copies of those cassettes for her bridge club friends and her ladies auxiliary and the Queen of Peace Hospital. So when I got back from Austria, I realized, well, maybe there's an opportunity of sharing music. And of course, all of Mom's friends loved it. But it was very simple, relaxing, easy listening piano. And that's what we continue to record now.
Earlier this fall, I was on a cruise down the Danube River, went through Austria and Hungary and many parts of, you know, Mozart and Brahms and Schumann and all the great. So what were you doing in Austria, and how did that contribute to your musical career?
Sure. Well, the musical influence, like you said, is amazing in Austria. And New Prague had Harold Malley, a great German teacher. And so Ryan and I both learned German, and Austria Austria was the only foreign study program that Notre Dame offered. And so living there for a year, we got thrown in and had to speak German. But because of the musical influence, I really got to appreciate melody and composition and kind of keeping things simple instead of, oftentimes people want to create something that's very challenging and difficult and hard to play. But again, going back to Mom and all of her favorites, many of them were simple melodies of Edelweiss or The Rose, or just easy to play on the piano, but I found that people enjoyed, and the Holy Spirit moved them more if the melody was just kept simple and people could use their imaginations to have the music relate to them and their lives.
Let's listen to one of the pieces from that early era, the This Is Carol of the Bells. Tim, you mentioned the Holy Spirit working through you while you're playing. How did your Catholic faith influence your music for you and for Ryan?
Yeah, early on through Father Denny Dempsey in New Prague, he started a Christian youth band. So when I was in, I think, seventh grade, we would go in someone's basement and I'd play the keyboard and there'd be a guitar player and a singer. So we would play for the 5 o'clock mass every Saturday at St. Wenceslaus. So that just kind of started setting the tone of music being fun and seeing that other people enjoyed music. And again, it came easy for me. I wanted to do things that I saw brought joy to others, but then I also didn't want to spend time, you know, playing football or baseball or other things. And I didn't get down on myself. So I think, to answer your question, I think the Holy Spirit, through our parents, who are very supportive, taught us that everybody has different talents. Our mom is a retired fifth grade teacher, and she would always say that she could tell that certain students learned in certain ways. Some like to draw, some like to memorize things, some like to experience things. And so with people's talents, everyone has different talents, and I'm thankful that we have music and we are able to share it.
Let me tiptoe a little bit into some onto thin ice, shall we say. There are liturgical conservatives, and now I'm trained as a liturgist, who will claim that the piano is not a fitting instrument for the Roman liturgy. You should do organ music or even just vocal singing in the piano because it's sometimes associated with secular music or because it can lead to solo music or that sort of thing. It doesn't really belong in the liturgy. How would you respond to persons who make such claims?
I love that question, and I can speak very pointedly to it because I've played literally at hundreds of weddings, mostly Catholic weddings, but some were out in a park that had no religious affiliation. And in certain churches, we had to insert the word God into the music to make it fitting. And so I understand there are many perspectives of it. I guess to someone who would say that to me, as I played the organ many times at St. Wenceslaus, I would ask for the people sitting in the pews at a Catholic Mass, what inspires them to be in touch with the Holy Spirit and with God and living a virtuous life? For many people, the organ does speak to them, but for many people, it doesn't. And so even at Our Lady of Grace, where Ryan and I are both parishioners, I love that the music there on Sundays at 5 o'clock is contemporary and joyful and much more relatable. And sometimes the organ for me gets a little stuffy and gets a little, it doesn't pertain to me. And to add that our kids have been to some Christian camps where much of the music is very contemporary and very not found in the Catholic Church. And our kids have been moved to be more joyful and full of faith from music that I never grew up with. So yeah, so I guess I would challenge that person to be open to new ways of hearing music. And of course, I play the piano and I find how the piano brings joy. But to say that only the organ brings joy or is appropriate, I think is a bit short-sighted, and they could open up their perspectives.
This next piece is a classic Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Tim, as you're looking ahead, what is something that you feel called to in this next season of music? Is there any new projects or anything else like that shaping up?
Sure. We're working with Hello, which is a wonderfully inspiring app.
I use it every day.
You do?
Yes.
Love it. I have to had to wear my Notre Dame spirit. It started by a couple of Notre Dame, not classmates, but alumni. And it's just an amazing app, and we've had some of our music on there. We recorded Songs of the Sacred Heart in June for them exclusively for Hello, and we'll be doing another project early next year for them. And again, I think just because so many people are at different stages of life, and Hello has been able to help them, whether they're struggling or they're having a joyful day, Hello kind of meets everyone where they're at. So that, and in addition, Ryan and I have started a nonprofit foundation, the O'Neill Foundation of Hope, that helps families in need. And we're hoping to raise $250,000 this year, mostly to help local families. And our concert coming up December 20th, all of the proceeds from that will help families in need too. So we're most excited about not only playing music, but kind of playing music for a mission. Mm-hmm.
Do you compose original music?
We do. In fact, every time we sit down, we improvise and we play it differently. So Yes, we not only improvise, but many of the songs we play are originals, but we found that people more are struck by Edelweiss, or familiar songs that evoke, oh, this was what my grandfather sang to me. So originals are harder to promote. But yes, we love to sit down and
is it
compose.
Only instrumental, or have you written lyric pieces to be sung as well?
We've written some lyrics, although maybe you'll be singing one for us here this morning. I hear you're quite the guitar player.
I know your music.
Yeah, we have composed some with lyrics, but mostly it's instrumental piano with violin or flute or other instruments accompanying us.
Mm-hmm. I'm so curious what it looks like for the improvising when you guys are just together. Like, how do you read each other? Is it because you're brothers or?
Yeah, it's totally how we're, and it's, again, it's divine. I don't fully understand it, but the way that I explain it is if you're giving a speech with someone, sometimes people like to give that speech verbatim and memorize it. And oftentimes that leads to difficulty because you have to do it exactly. But when Ryan and I do it, it's like bullet points on a piece of paper. So we know what the 7 bullet points are, or chord structures that we'll hit. And then we fill in the blanks with all the different words or all the different notes. And it's literally different every time. And we just make eye contact as we play across from each other. But it's fascinating, and I fully don't understand it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Do you have children?
We do. Annie and I were blessed with 4 children, 3 in high school, and then one, our youngest Lucy, is in 7th grade.
Are any of them picking up music strongly?
They are. They love it. They it comes naturally for all 4 of them. We're trying to just let them nurture it, you know, and not push too much, but they'll be joining us on stage as well for our
delightful.
Oh, it is delightful. Yes. It is just the most heartwarming. This is our 4th year back doing these concerts, but yes.
Well, we're almost out of time.
All right.
But before we go, are there any final words you would like, or any place if people want to get in touch with your music, how they might do so?
Certainly. Our website is easiest, pianobrothers.com. And again, our O'Neill Foundation of Hope, which is o'neillhope.org. If anyone knows of someone struggling, the holidays are a difficult time for so many people. So if you know of someone that just needs a little boost or has fallen on a hard time, you can nominate them. And we help 2 or 3 families per week. But yes, pianobrothers.com is the best way to reach us.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tim.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
It's been a delight.
Thank you. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Yeah, thank you.
And then we'll end with just one last piece, O Holy Night. Don't go away. Up next, pianist and composer Stephen C. Anderson shares his journey of faith, music, and inspiration. Plus, we'll hear 2 of his beautiful pieces.
Our spiritual director today is Father Matthew Spencer.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Giving us some great advice on how to discern God's will and then how to move forward and seek to do God's will in our life.
And I think this is important, Patrick. Sometimes we imagine that God is putting difficult decisions on us and then watching over us as if he's maniacally waiting for us to trip up and make some bad decision and go astray, and just he's trying to see whether it's going to work out for us or not. And that's not how he looks at us. He wants us to succeed, right? He wants us to persevere in his will. Even if we make a wrong decision, he will help us to get back on track. It's so important to act, and I think we, especially in our own times, have a problem with this, right? We have difficulties with analysis paralysis, where we look at something for so long, right? We're just paralyzed. We can't follow through with it.
Yeah, hang on. Let me overthink this.
It's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley, 11 a.m. Central Time on Relevant Radio. Broadcasting hope for 25 years. This is Relevant Radio.
Let's go to Megan in San Francisco. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Patrick. I wanted to thank you today for being there on the radio. When I was driving my 3rd grader to school, I was just so thankful just to be able to go to you and to be enlightened and instructed and educated. And I know it helps educate my daughter and enlighten her mind.
Talk that brings Christ to the world. Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful to you, and grateful to the Lord for all the good things that he does for people during the time that we're on the air.
Hey, well, thank you so much again, and praise the Lord.
Amen to that, that's for sure.
We're all in it together here at Relevant Radio. This is why, especially around Pledge Drive time, we talk about join the family, because we really are a family.
One big family bringing Christ to the world. Relevant Radio.
Today we're joined by St. Paul-based pianist and composer Stephen C. Anderson, whose music has reached millions of listeners around the world. Beyond his remarkable career recording at Abbey Road Studios and selling over 2 million albums, Stephen's story is one of deep faith. After 21 years accompanying masses, quietly reflecting in the pews, he discovered that the Catholic Church was his true spiritual home. Today we'll hear about his conversion journey, dive into his music, and share a few favorite pieces. Stephen, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
We're so happy you're here. So your journey to becoming Catholic took over 20 years while you were deeply involved in church music already. Can you take us back to that moment when you realized the church was your home?
Well, it first started with lots of time sitting in the cathedral with something, you know, feeling a change inside of me. And it was where I could finally quiet my busy brain and to feel. And my job, you know, was playing at church, St. Joe's, and I felt like I wasn't supposed to be just at the piano. And so there was multiple times from strangers that they said, you should do RCIA, which is now OC, right? And I went to my now then sponsor and I said, why do you think these people are coming up to me? And she said, are you ready? And it was like, without hesitation, Holy Spirit moment, yes. And so that started, that was like the tipping point, if you would be. But it was a long journey. In fact, one of the parishioners, the lady said, she goes, you know, you're a slow learner. And I said, it felt like I'd been in the front row for over 2 decades, and I was finally feeling like, no, you're not supposed to just be on the piano bench. And so those classes, Monday nights, was the highlight of my week. I felt like I was in a religion history class that I never had. And so, and I'd always have questions and questions, and the journey continues.
Mm-hmm. What got you into church music in the first place?
It's interesting because my mother said, you know, besides playing piano, you should learn to play organ because, you know, you can get work as a church organist and, of course, what you do with your Hamlin music degree. And so I played churches kind of here and there, and then they started a contemporary service. And so since I could sometimes rock out, I started with that, but then discovered a whole, you know, choir music and accompanying handbells and stuff. And so it was something that's like the highlight of my week is Sunday or Saturday and Sunday because I get to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't make day 8, right? Day 7, where's day 8? It's okay. So I love playing for church and masses.
Yeah. You mentioned that sitting in St. Joe's and in other churches, those are the places where you could quiet your heart. Now, I know you've been doing concerts at the cathedral for a number of years. What made you make that shift, especially with the influence of the cathedral?
There's a wonderful correlation between spaces and music and how you feel. And in this instance, it was like the cathedral was like a faith partner. It was like saying, quiet your mind, forget your ego. And then the idea to do concerts there was supposed to be, get this, one.
Oh,
because
wow.
I recorded an album there, and I thought, I want to share with people what it sounds like to have a 9-foot grand piano in the cathedral. So we did one, and I guess a lot of people showed up. Now we're back for year 9.
Wow.
So that's that every time. And with the cathedral, every time I walk in there, I feel like, you know, even if it's a snowstorm and we just moved the piano there, I'm like, oh, I'm at the cathedral.
Mm-hmm. So it's such a grand space. And now it's more than just a Christmas concert. Now you do concerts all throughout the year at the cathedral.
Yeah. First off, Christmas cathedral, that is really like the pinnacle, the Super Bowl.
It is.
It's Christmas. But because they've done well, the cathedral came back to us and said, what else can we do? So all of a sudden we're outside on the 4th of July baking. We were there around St. Patrick's Day with a Lenten theme thing. And we just finished Thankful Together. And I'm very thankful that we had a lot of people there and the weather was okay. And so they're saying, can we do it again? So besides, it feels like a partnership. And mm-hmm. again, one thing they look at my music is we can bring in the community to the cathedral, and that's really important for them as a goal. I always ask, who's here at the cathedral for the very first time? And when I see all these hands go up, I'm like, yay, and will you come back for Christmas?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of influence does your faith have on your music before your conversion to Catholicism and then now after it?
Great question. My faith first, it gives me the kind of the strength to actually even do this because we are a mom and pop shop, you know, so to put on this stuff like that, it takes a lot of faith to say, yeah, I'm going to walk out in front of thousands of people and be able to perform. And I think in the programming, you know, we're not doing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I mean, we have the angel Gabriel. We want to honor the Christmas traditions. And my faith so much in these classes was going back to like, oh, that's what this part of the Mass means. Like, I've played it, but I didn't understand it. And the journey continues. I'm still today learning new things about my faith.
Mm-hmm. What kind of mentors have you had guiding you around through the faith?
Well, for sure, Vicki Kippers, my sponsor, has been a musical partner for a long time, but she was so wonderful in saying, are you ready? Which mm-hmm. was a really important thing. My wife, Jillian, and her whole family is just inspirational to me. I would have questions after my classes, and she'd be my first call to say, I learned this, you know, in the sacrament of marriage. It's not just a man and a woman. It's with God, and a circle goes around it. I thought, That's what I want. And so those are some of the big mentors. Father Michael Cregan, we did like 15 years. And it wasn't like just like our working relationship. We were friends too. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoy the friendship and working with priests,
yeah.
different ones, you know.
Yeah. Now, was Father Michael the pastor at St. Joe's when you were working there?
Correct.
Okay.
And yeah.
So you've spent your life creating music that has touched millions of people. How does your faith, we talked about how faith influenced your music. How does it influence the compositions? Are there particular moments where you felt your music and your faith intertwined?
Yes. A few times I've been able to compose songs. So in composing music, it's not like I wake up and go, well, it's Tuesday at 10 o'clock and I've had my coffee, so let's write some great songs. I've composed songs like Mowing the Lawn.
Yep.
But I have a couple real gems that are right after communion when I'm supposed to just improvise and fill. Well, all of a sudden, this is not just filling. This is a song that just has, it's in the moment. It kind of will feel a little bit at first like the communion song, but then it comes to something else. And then all day long, it's stuck in my head. So those are some of the moments that, you know, you don't plan that.
Exactly.
You don't wake up and say, guess what? Today, after, you know, take and eat, I'm going to compose a new song.
Yeah. You never know when the Holy Spirit's going to work.
Nope.
We'll take a moment now to hear one of Stephen's favorite pieces, The Angel Gabriel.
Thank you.
So, Stephen, you've recorded with the London Symphony Strings, performed with Mannheim Steamroller, and which was on the Today Show, and you've sold over 2 million albums. Looking back, what performances or projects have felt the most meaningful to you?
Well, for sure, the Christmas series at the Cathedral, because it was just a kind of an idea and has become something bigger. That feeling after you play there, you can't describe it. Like, it's really hard to sleep, and you're just like floating on air for a while. The London Symphony one was because I did work with Mannheim Steamroller. This little guy from St. Paul is like flying over to the big Abbey Road studio, and it was one of those great moments where you kind of go, I don't care if I even sell one record because I get to do this. And
yeah,
it was just so amazing. And there's a lot of times too, like, let's just say I'm doing Christmas music for the St. Joe's seniors. The look in their face, and so it doesn't have anything to do with money or big numbers, but just to bring joy into people's lives, and especially when people are stressed or whatever, if the music can be a balm and help them in some way, maybe on their faith journey, so it doesn't have to be the London Symphony or a full cathedral. It could be just one person that writes you a little note and says, mm-hmm, thank you.
Wow, that's so beautiful. I think about music and how it can really raise our hearts to God. And Archbishop's, the small groups process that he chose for parishes is called the Parish Evangelization Cell System. And one of the steps in every small group is to open with a song of praise and opening with music. And I know personally for me that was a little uncomfortable sometimes, but there's something about music that lets you kind of raise your heart to God.
Oh, for sure. Whether it's just instrumental stuff, or lately we've been doing with my wife singing The Goodness of God, and when people sing on that chorus, I almost pull back on the piano because I want them to hear that feeling. Is just, it's beyond words, mm-hmm, really.
So can you tell us a little more about Christmas Together with Stephen C. and Friends at the Cathedral of St. Paul? What audiences, or what can the audience expect from this experience at the cathedral?
I first want to say I'm very blessed to have friends, because it takes a lot to put this one on. And I always look at the audience and go, I don't have that many friends, and so it's working. So one of the big things is we get to use the Crisconza and the cathedral,
yes,
organ and the children's choir. And I heard now, kind of, it's like doubled in size. And so we have lots of kids, because when you say Christmas and kids and they're singing Silent Night, and mm-hmm, so that's a big deal. Another highlight is the guitarist Pat Donahue, who was on Garrison Keillor for years. And he said the first time we were at the show, he said, well, this is not my normal venue. And people love that. I love harmony singing. So we have Jack Cassidy, Kat Budzine, and my wife Jillian singing three-part harmonies, like when you hit Oh Holy Night. It's like, oh, that's
beautiful,
a moment. And then right now, Nate Wilson on violin. And when you put the organ, we like to use that organ as an orchestral instrument. So it just fills the sound out more than if you had a string section. So, and we have a little duel between Chris and I on the organ and stuff, because, you know, a little improv challenge.
Oh, yeah.
I usually throw the towel at him and say, you win. He wins. And so, yeah, it's, again, musically, we're really excited. Some newer songs, we might do some cinematic stuff. This Cradle in Bethlehem song is one of Jack's real favorite ones. And so, mm-hmm, now I'm excited. I want to go practice.
Yeah, exactly. What's it like being able to, I think you maybe mentioned it a little bit, but to just go a little deeper into what's it like playing in the space like the cathedral? The acoustics in there are just insane. And it's one of the biggest buildings in America. I learned from Father Joseph Johnson the other day that it is taller than the Statue of Liberty, even.
Wow. Well, it is, I think, an 8-second reverb, and you have to learn to play with the cathedral, like not at the cathedral. Certain songs, if they're like louder and faster, don't do as well, so a lot of our tempos are slower. But the perception from when I'm playing, you know, and then what the sound is out there is kind of different. I've listened back to some recordings and went, oh, it does sound really good. And then the lights. I didn't think too much about the lights because I'm worried about playing. And then I look at somebody's video and saying, that looks really cool. And so we're trying to, you know, I look at each show to say, what can we do better in terms of the music and the promotion and the lighting and the sound? So it's not the same thing every year. And so we are thinking about that right now.
That's exciting. Next, we'll listen to Ave Thanksgiving, another stunning work that captures Stephen's faith and musical vision. Stephen, can you share story or inspiration behind the pieces you've selected to play for us today?
Well, of course, with Angel Gabriel, that melody and the message, I mean, in the cathedral, you can really hear the big reverb the way I'm playing it there. It would only sound like that recorded in the cathedral. And Ave Thanksgiving, George Winston and Caccini, I think they kind of like were on the same song. It has a very similar E minor vibe. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, this sounds like Thanksgiving. Wait, this sounds like Ave. And so I put them together, and it's been one of my favorites. We have the organ in on that one too. So,
do these pieces in any way reflect your faith journey?
Absolutely. Again, like if I put together a CD and it was Rudolph, and I mean, and I love all these other songs and stuff, but that it's not the Christmas message. It's not based in the faith, you know, of the story. And so you can see it in the programming, with the idea too that we always sneak in something kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to do a little bit of Celebrate Me Home at the other show, Kenny Loggins. You know, it's home, it's Christmas and stuff. So we're trying to always find a nice balance.
Looking back on your conversion and musical career, what kind of advice or encouragement would you give to someone exploring the faith or following a creative calling?
Ooh, great question. For sure, the faith element, as it like relates to following a creative career, I think they really go hand in hand, because there's a lot of, you know, in college I doubted, like, okay, why am I studying music? What am I going to do? You know, raised Lutheran, not really understanding what that was. When those things combine and then you can share that feeling and that joy, it's very inspirational, I think, to other people. Not preaching, but just sharing my story.
And exactly.
Then, and the music then speaks in a different language.
Exactly.
Really, from the heart. From the heart.
What was it like? I'm thinking again to what you were saying earlier about how you had this front row seat to the Mass as a musician. What was it like that first time you were able to fully participate in the Mass?
Now that is a great question, because it's like, okay, is this really happening now? Instead of filling piano music and watching all my other musicians go up for communion, it's going to be silence, and I get to go up. It was, the first one was really something, because it wasn't like a couple of years. We're talking decades of watching this and playing the Mass and not really understanding the Mass, and now there I am. And at St. Joe's, too, the people were like, they were cheering. You know, I could feel them all going, yes.
Wow, that is so beautiful, having a whole community behind you like that.
Yep.
Well, Stephen, it's been wonderful to have you on the show today. Where can listeners go to listen to your music and learn more?
Well, pretty easy to always go to Stephen C. Music. It's my website.com. Ticket information is available on Eventbrite, but I am one of the very fortunate ones that my music is on all the streaming services. So if you're a Spotify person or Pandora or XM, or find me and I'll give you an old-fashioned CD. So it's very easy to find it. The Google likes Stephen C. And so, and I just appreciate, you know, any support.
Great. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Oh, no, thank you.
Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment to share some upcoming retreats and Advent concerts happening right here in our Archdiocese.
For everyone out there that's struggling, God definitely has been with me through this whole thing. There's no way I could have made it this far without God.
How much has Relevant Radio played into that? I mean, do you listen on a regular basis or here and there?
That's all I listen to now.
Mm-hmm. And how has Relevant Radio helped you, Jeff?
I learn a lot. I'm really curious about things. I'm a very rational person. So, you know how some things don't make sense? You know how, like, when you're praying the rosary and certain things come up in your head, like, wait, how does this make sense? I need stuff to make sense. And, that's where Relevant Radio helps me, because people call in with the same questions I have. And then once I have a valid answer, I could digest and my faith becomes stronger that way. You know, I need things to make sense. And Relevant Radio makes things make sense. The questions people have and the answers that are given, I go, oh, there it is.
Broadcasting hope for 25 years. This is Relevant Radio.
Thank you so much for your time, and I love your show.
Marriage Unhindered.
It's a wonderful addition to all the other wonderful programs.
God bless you.
I can't live without Relevant Radio.
I love to hear that.
Listeners, I honestly cannot. I wake up sad, and the first thing I do is turn on Patrick and Father Simon, and you guys are my family.
We just love being able to do what we're doing.
I would just die if your radio station went away. I think I would just die.
Marriage Unhindered with Doug Hinderer, 5 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
We have got some fantastic events going on this week, especially some concerts coming up to get you in the spirit of Advent. Father Tom and I are joined by Rachel McCallum and Paul Sadek, our producers. Paul, do you want to kick us off?
Oh, well, of course. And I'm a sucker for Advent and Christmas music. I am not a Scrooge when it comes to that stuff. So join us on Saturday, December 13th, 7:30 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul, an inspiring evening of sacred music. The University of Mary's Capella Choir will perform alongside the Boom Island String Quartet and gifted ensembles from regional Catholic high schools. They will offer a luminous celebration of Advent. The 7:30 p.m. concert is free and open to all. A free will offering will be gratefully accepted. A ticketed social dinner will precede the concert, at 5:30 p.m. If you want to find out more details, check our website, archspm.org/events. That's coming up Saturday, December 13th, 7:30 at the Cathedral.
Paul, where is Boom Island?
Boom Island is in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I've got a friend who's in the, or family friend who's in the Capella, so I'm excited to hear him sing.
Yeah, so because fun. Isn't there a local beer brewery, Boom Island, also? Or wasn't there?
I think you're right.
Right. I think somewhere in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Well, what else, Rachel?
Yeah, well, this event's a little further out, but for women ages 16 to 35 discerning a call to consecrated life, they're invited to the Miriam Dinner that's taking place Tuesday, January 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center. It's hosted by Archbishop Hebda, Bishops Michael Eisen and Kevin Kenny, and Father Mark Pavlock. The evening features prayer, dinner, and stories from consecrated women about their vocations. Guests are welcome to attend with a pastor, youth minister, or a religious mentor. You can register now to be a part of this event by visiting archspm.org/events. Again, that's taking place Tuesday, January 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center.
Well, back to concerts, and it's just a day after the Luminosa Capella event on Sunday, December 14th, from 3 to 5 p.m., you can enjoy Handel's Messiah being performed on Gaudete Sunday at Holy Family Church in St. Louis Park. Enjoy the power and beauty of this timeless masterpiece. There will be a professional orchestra, distinguished soloists, and the Holy Family talented parish choir and schola. So all are welcome to share the joyful Advent tradition. And if you want more information, go to thecatholicspirit.com.
I love Handel's Messiah.
I guess I can handle it. I stole that pun from Peanuts comic strip many years ago.
I should have seen that coming.
Well, we've got plenty of other concerts for Advent if you want to get into the spirit, including Stephen C's concert, which he mentioned in his segment, as well as Tim O'Neill and the Piano Brothers in their segment. You'll just have to go to archspm.org/events for that. Next week on the show, we'll have Bishop Kevin Kenny returning to talk about how Catholics can be witnesses of joy and reflect Christ in the world. Kind of makes me think of the song Joy to the World.
Well, yes.
Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. That one?
I was thinking of a different one, but that's a good one too. And we'll also be sharing a very exciting behind-the-scenes interview for Vatican Unveiled, which is a one-of-its-kind exhibit being held at the Mall of America from January 10th through February 1st.
I gotta make plans to go and see that when it shows up there.
Yes, you want to get tickets now for that because they go up in price once the exhibit starts. So get them before the exhibit starts on January 10th.
I have a brother, Mike, in the Cleveland, Ohio area. I was just with him at Thanksgiving, and I mentioned this Vatican Unveiled to him, and he's going to see if he can arrange it to fly in from Ohio just to see this show.
It's commitment.
Yeah, that is commitment.
Yeah. And he's into this sort of a thing. But, you know, we interviewed him, and we'll hear that interview shortly, you know. It's just remarkable stuff that Father Kunst brought in with him, and you know, it's just an amazing.
Father Kunst is the curator of the collection, and he is the one that Father Tom and I got to interview. Father, will you close us in a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, in this holy season of Advent, we give you thanks for the coming of your Son. And as we anticipate celebrating his birth at Christmas, may we be filled with joy. And may Almighty God blessing come upon all, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows, find us wherever you get your podcasts. And stay connected with us. Visit our website, practicingcatholicshow.com, or follow us on social media at Practicing Catholic Show. We'll be back again next week. Go!